Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you. I'd like to welcome you here this morning. We are here because we know that there's a God in heaven who has saved us, and we know that these are perilous times that we're living in, and really, there's very little time left. If we knew, it wouldn't be good. The Lord knows what to tell us and what not to tell us, but He does tell us what we need to do to be ready. And I'm going to have you open your Bibles with me this morning to the 27th Psalm. Psalm 27. It's a beautiful day. I don't know how many of these we have left. I really feel an urgency today that we need to prepare ourselves for things that are soon to come to pass. And every day that you walk with the Lord is a good day. Amen. Every day that you put your trust in Him, your faith, your confidence, that's always the right thing to do, and that's always a good day. So we're going to, first of all, pray, and then look at Psalm 27 together to start with. And I hope that, and I pray, that the Lord will impress upon us the need for a closer walk with Him. Because time is running out. Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for Thy many blessings. We thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee for the power of the Holy Ghost, by which we live and by which we stand. And I pray that Thou wouldst be merciful and gracious unto us, for we stand in great need of Thee today. I pray that Thou wouldst move upon our hearts and our minds, and that Thou wouldst stir our souls. Help us to reach out to Thee with a whole heart. Help us, O Lord, I pray, to reach out in faith, believing, embracing Thy promises, and looking to Thee, the author and finisher of our faith. Guide and direct us now in Thy holy word, and help us to be drawn near to Thy throne. Let Thy word be performed in us, and let Thy will be done. Let the evil one be put to flight. Let him have no power over us at all. But now, Lord, help us and receive our praise and our worship, and help us to receive Thy word in our hearts. Through the power of the blood of Jesus, we ask it, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 27, we begin reading, and it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, we live in a world that is generating fear after fear after fear. Just recently, the president, President Bush, stood up and made a speech. It just happened to be 11 minutes. You know, another one of those coincidences. All these 11s and all of these occult numbers. But he stood up and he made a speech and he said, "We know there are thousands of terrorists waiting to strike." What does that do to people? You know, I remember, well, it puts people in fear so that they are subservient to anything that can help them. And since they don't trust the Lord, they're going to look to Big Brother, as it were, to see what he can do for them. You know, it kind of takes me back to when I was in school in the late 1950s, early 1960s. We had those air raid drills. Did you ever have those? Everybody down, cover your heads, put your heads down, hands over your neck, under the desk, because the Russians might get you. And of course, in those days, the Russians couldn't beat the Boy Scouts. That was all a big hoax. And all those pictures that they... Remember those Russian parades they show you, that May Day parade? With those big rockets? Those rockets couldn't fly. In fact, the housing for those rockets was made by the Fruhoff Trailer Company in Detroit, Michigan. That was all just a big hoax, and they wanted you to believe that they can nuke you any minute. Now we live in a time when the reality is here. Sure, there is a lot of fear out there and a lot of reason to fear if you don't know the Lord. But if you fear the Lord, you have nothing else to fear. Now we have the reality of these nukes, but you've got to understand something. You have to know who the enemy is. Most people don't know who the enemy is. Most people trust the enemy, thinking the enemy is the one who will protect them from the enemy, that is projected as being the enemy. Please don't ask me to say that again. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, the very ones that are trusted are the enemy. The fox is tending the hen house, right? And so we have a real problem on our hands. We need the Lord, and we need the Lord's help every minute of every day. Oh, incidentally, the title of the message today is God's Secret Pavilion. And you'll see how that plays in as I move down through the chapter, or through the psalm. I guess technically a psalm isn't a chapter. It's a psalm. So we say Psalm chapter 27. No, that isn't right. It's Psalm 27. Just a little technicality, but what's mainly important here is that we get the content of the message. We live in a time of extreme fear. When fear is being promoted for a while. But then, of course, they have the guarantee that all will be well, right? Because we're looking out for you. You know, these are very strange times when you really can't trust anything or anybody. You never really could, but especially not now. The flow of information is so fast, and technology has grown leaps and bounds, and the intergovernmental agencies don't even trust each other. They're all spying on each other. Who can we turn to for help? The only one we ever really could have turned to for help. Except now it's becoming more and more obvious every day. We need the Lord God Almighty. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The government is upon His shoulder. There is no other government other than renegade Antichrist tyranny. And that's becoming more obvious all the time. Listen to what David said in this psalm. Notice he said, "Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies." Now, what is meant there? The enemies of Christianity. We're not looking at geographic allocations called countries and continents in this world. We are looking at a spiritual condition. It always has been and still is, and more than ever. We're fighting spiritual battles. We are fighting devils. Devils use people. Devils inhabit people. Devils possess people in high places. But we're fighting devils. And there's only one way to fight devils. And that's through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and by your faith, and by your Christian testimony. Amen. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Now, we look at eat up my flesh, of course, as a metaphor for destroy, to destroy. But it's kind of interesting because with all the chemicals they're spraying in the skies and putting in your food and putting in your water and all the things they're giving you to eat, they're literally eating up your flesh as well. So the Bible is very accurate, isn't it? And when they put sodium fluoride in your water, or fluorostatic acid, what that does is it dulls your senses, makes you unable to concentrate, makes you feel apathetic, it just makes you kind of dull. I don't know if any of you ever felt dull. But sodium fluoride will do that. As a matter of fact, the only active ingredient in Morton's rat poison is sodium fluoride. But they dump it in your water system because it'll make your teeth strong so you can have a nice smile in your casket. Isn't that an interesting little thing? You know how that happened? It goes back to the Aluminum Corporation of America, Alcoa. Did you hear of Alcoa? Out there in Maryland where their big headquarters is. They were manufacturing aluminum, and as a byproduct they had sodium fluoride and didn't know what to do with it, so they dumped it in the river. But all the fish started going belly up. They're floating dead up the river. And so they made them stop doing that. They didn't know what to do with all of this stuff. And so they worked out a deal with the government and with some Illuministic scientists. That is, those that are paid by the Illuminati. And the Illuminati employs all kinds of people. Witches, psychics, scientists, all kinds of people. They talked the government, it wasn't hard to do either, talked them into putting this, first of all, in school water systems as a test. Students started dropping over, getting sick, and so they said, we better back off on the dose. And then they finally figured out a dose where they wouldn't drop anymore. I'm telling you the truth today. And they started putting it in all the water supplies, all the cities. Started, oh, this is good for your teeth. That was the only reason they did it, good for your teeth. I don't know, there's an awful lot of dentists. Did you ever check their prices lately? Huh? You can spend $1,000 on a tooth, like nothing. $1,200. Now, these are very, very strange times we're living in. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host, that's a big quantity of people, a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Now, what kind of a person could conquer fear like that? Do you know what one of the biggest crippling problems there is in the world today, and even among God's people? Fear. People have not learned how to conquer fear. They're afraid of this, afraid of that, afraid of the dark, afraid this might happen to them. They might catch this or get hit by a truck or whatever. There's a million diseases you can catch or develop. And fear, fear, fear. Well, the unforeseen does not exist. And Jesus said, by taking thought, you can add one cubit to your stature. If we fear God, and we're really in His hands, and cradled by His power, then shouldn't we learn to conquer fear? There isn't anything to be afraid of. We have a true peace, not like the world gives. Oh, good news for you folks, good news! I'm being facetious here. Very soon we can all lay down our heads on our pillow at night and rest. Because the U.S. government is developing a Department of Peace. They're working on it right now. Very soon they're going to announce, just like they have this safety thing going on, you know? The national security, this security they're giving us. Peace and safety. Well, now they have developed this thing. It's the Department of Peace. They got a Pentagon for the Department of War. I wonder what kind of building they're going to put up for the Department of Peace. But how do you have peace without the Prince of Peace? How could you have a United Nations, which was the housing for communism for years and years, how could you have an organization to ensure everlasting peace when it's stipulated in advance that there is never to be a mention of Jesus Christ in the UN? You know, I've run into these things firsthand when I went into that Masonic Lodge, the Scottish Rite House of the Temple in Washington, D.C., 13 blocks from the White House. I went in there and that little Jewish fella who was giving us a tour, he was 33rd degree Scottish Rite, I mentioned Jesus and he said, we don't use that word around here. What does that tell you? Is that Christ or Antichrist? Then why do all the presidents, the even past presidents, and senators and congressmen go to that house of the temple, walk 13 blocks, and go into that place on Albert Pike Day every year to honor the father of the Scottish Rite? Why do they shut down the Senate and shut down the house and shut down everything and all walk over to the house of the temple? Commemorate the birth of Dr. Albert Pike, father of the Scottish Rite. And you hear all these stories about these great men, these astute men, these great senior statesmen and so forth. And they all go in there and have the secret handshake and the secret oath. And they are the elite of Satan that are running the system today. Just so you know that. But the Bible says to not fear them. There is only one that we should fear, and that is a healthy respect and awe that is held in our hearts for the living God. For He alone is able to save or to destroy, to get you to heaven or to cast you into hell. Him we will fear. Him we will honor. Amen. The world is trying to feed you with all the diversions and all the pleasures and all the misdirection and occupy your time so you don't think about God, so you don't think about the Bible, so you don't think about coming to church, so you don't think about anything except what it takes to make you happy. Never has there been a time in the history of mankind when people have been more pleasure mad and have been more seekers of, well, you know, the Constitution says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is a mad pursuit. This is something that, there it was talking about the right to be content and so forth. But this is a mad, lustful pursuit of anything that will thrill you, and that's why they grab for all these odd things that are going on. People can never get enough. These are all distractions, diversions, things to occupy your time, to take over portions of your memory that could otherwise be given to the Word of God. And of course, the young people going to these schools, very, very few come out educated. They all come out indoctrinated, but very few educated. Isn't that sad? It's different than it used to be. A lot of people think, when they hear my tapes, they think I've been to universities, and a lot of people write and call me Dr. Meyer and things like that. I just had a regular education. I just happen to remember what they taught me, what I learned, and I did a lot of digging for myself and a lot of prayer. But what are they cranking out now? Did you know that in one of the major school districts in our country, one of the larger school districts, they recently had a test of 12th graders, seniors, and 50% of those tested could not locate the Pacific Ocean. And the school district was San Francisco. What are you going to do with an outfit like that, huh? The Pacific Ocean borders on San Francisco, and they didn't know where it was. 50%. Now, what did they learn? They're learning the ways of a new world order. That there is a system that will take care of you when you're young, that will watch over you when you're middle-aged, that will care for you when you're old, from the cradle to the grave. Remember Bill Clinton? Held that little card up? It didn't go through Hillary's plan, medical plan, but the words they used, from the cradle to the grave. And what did he say? We've got you covered. From the cradle to the grave, we've got you covered. You know, so many people put their trust in things like that. Oh, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? If we could ever learn to trust God, if we put that same energy into prayer and trusting the Lord, look what He would do for us. Because He does respond to prayer. I've said it time and time again, and I'll say it again and again, that it's not hard to get answers to prayer. It's not hard. But it's so hard to get people to pray. You don't do it out of a little book. You do it from your heart. You make contact with the Almighty until you know you've made contact. And the fact is, as we're about to read, there is a secret pavilion that is only secret because it's between you and God, a place that you can find where He will put His peace and His power in your heart and make you strong. Watch this. I'll read it. He says, I want to read verse 3 again. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. That word pavilion there means a covering, a dwelling place, a tabernacle of protection. Comes from the Hebrew word sukkah, or roof of protection, tabernacle of protection. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. What is this telling us here? Amidst all the conflicting reports and all the things that are rising up and prophecy being fulfilled, do you know how close we are to the mark of the beast? Well, it's already out there. It's all of our foods already. The things you buy are already marked. It's just that you're not. The system's in place. I have a friend whose father works for the United States Marine Corps as a civilian computer expert. And I was talking to my friend. I can't tell you who he is. I shouldn't anyway. For security reasons. But anyway, he said his father was talking to him on the phone because he works for the Marine Corps. And he said to his son, you know, I've got a new mouse. We all know what a mouse is for a computer. And he said, so what? And his dad said, well, except that it's a pair of glasses. He said, when I put the glasses on, and it's wireless, there's nothing hooked to the glasses, just like glasses you'd pull out of your pocket. He said, I put my glasses on, anywhere I look at the screen, that's where the finder goes. The cursor or the arrow, anything I look at. He said, if I want to activate, I blink twice. And the computer, he talks to the computer with his eyes. Never touches it. You know what's in your forehead? Your forehead isn't just this big bone up here. You got two eyes there. And Jesus said the light of the body is the eye. And now if your eye is single, your whole body's full of light. If your eye is evil, your whole body's full of darkness. And when you can look at a CRT, cathode ray tube, of a computer, a monitor, and you can talk to it with your eyes and activate it, make it do anything you want with your eyes by blinking. If you can do that and communicate with a machine that does your thinking for you, does your calculating for you, does your buying and selling for you, starts out with a www.whatever, and of course that letter in the Hebrew alphabet is 6, so you got a 666, you're talking to it with your forehead. Now how much closer can you get? And then I got the letter, some of you know this already, I got the letter from this woman out on the East Coast who has a Catholic friend who went, I just mentioned that because of what is to follow here, but it could have been Lutheran or Methodist, anybody, but just, this friend happened to be Catholic, who went in for a biopsy on her breast, and the doctor told her that he put a chip in her. Computer chip. Little transponder. Biochip. And she said, why did you do that? He said, so I know right where to go back. If I have to go back in there, I'll know right where I was. And she said, does this mean that you can monitor me, that wherever I am, you could find me? She just asked that question. He said, with the global positioning satellite, if I had the equipment here, yes, I could. I'd know every place you are. And she talked to him a little more about it. She felt a little bit strange about it, but then she asked him a little more, a few more questions, and he said, everybody getting surgery nowadays is having a chip put in. They don't tell you. But how many people have had any kind of surgery in the past 3 years? How many are walking around with a chip and don't know it? And you might say, but there must be legal. You know, you sign this little paper before they do any of those procedures pertaining to the surgery. And it's never been challenged in court that I know of. It's part of the procedure, part of the monitoring. There's nothing illegal about it, except that it's Antichrist. When I say illegal, I'm talking about their set of laws, not God's laws. You understand there's a difference there? Do you think they mesh perfectly? They're contrary one to the other. But these are the kind of days that we're living in. Did you know they've got a computer now that generates no heat? Usually they have a fan and vents and so forth. No heat. They also have one that is totally clear. You can see right through the case. And there's no electronics in it except where you feed the information in. It's all, they use the molecules of the liquid as circuitry. They have tubes going through it with liquids moving through it. Makes no noise. And it performs the functions of any computer so fast that they have nothing elaborate enough to measure the speed of it. It's already out. It's been seen. It's being beta tested right now. They're using the electrical charge in the molecules for memory. Now, how far is this thing going to go? IBM has been given instructions to mass produce microchips, biochips. Not in designated lots for specific jobs, but in general, massive amounts of them. Why? What kind of a time are we living in? Do you see the need? Understand now, if you give way to this, you might think, oh, that would really be something if I had a chip in me, if I could talk to a computer with my eyes. Huh? The Bible talks about being taken with your eyelids, doesn't it? With her eyelids? Next thing you know, you have a computer talk back to you with a big eyelid, huh? Now, it's really amazing what they have done, but we are so far down that road toward the end that it's shocking to realize that at any moment something could happen to bring forth the powers of darkness as never seen before. That's where we are. And at the same time, I know that there is a place, a secret place, says in verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. But I've got to be able to find that place. There's a reason why we come in here to worship God. We worship Him, we praise Him, we hear His Word. That's all well and good. But I fully realize that there are people who can come in this place and sit down, and they can be here, but they have never been near that secret place of this pavilion. They've never found that place in prayer, in the depth of prayer. They've never prayed long enough or hard enough or enough with the heart to have found a place that is so wonderful. You see, I can tell you how long you should pray. You should pray until you don't want to stop. Then you know. Then you know you've gotten through. There is a way to pray in faith where you feel the power of God in such a way where you know you have contacted His throne and it engulfs your innermost being and you know God heard you and you know He's with you. And so you rise up and then you walk in faith as a new creature in Christ Jesus, not carrying all the doubts and all the questions and all these things. What if, what if, what if? We have direction in the Spirit of God. He told us what to do. Let people know what you know and do His work and you'll be all right. But for a lot of people, it's dabble. It's, I'll play with this a little bit. Oh yeah, well, okay. I don't want to be too committed though. How far can you go? Too committed? If you gave Him everything you've got in 24 hours a day, it wouldn't be enough. You don't measure this thing out and say, I want this much of it. We reach out with a whole heart or it's nothing. If He is not Lord of all in your life, then He's not Lord at all in your life. You know, Rick and Tracy brought me a little present today. Remember how I always put my ear out like that to hear you say amen? They got me a big horn. I got to clip the end off it yet, so I can bring that up and hold it up. Maybe by Wednesday I'll have that ready. But anyway, there is a place in God, a secret place. The reason it's secret is it's because it's only between you and Him. The Almighty and you. We're not looking at a geographic area here. We are looking at a place in prayer wherever you may be. You know, Jacob was traveling through a wilderness, just a horrible wilderness, and he stopped for the night. He propped up his backpack there by some stones for a pillow. He didn't lay his head on rock, but he used the rocks to prop up his backpack and laid his head there. And he fell asleep, and it was just a wilderness place. And as he laid there, he had a dream, and he saw a ladder set up into heaven with angels of God ascending and descending. And at the top, there was the Almighty, who told him he was going to protect him and bless him. And when he woke up, he said, "How terrible is this place? This is the door of heaven. This is the house of God." And he named it Beth-El and set up a stone pillar. And he made a covenant there, made a vow to the Lord, that if the Lord would keep him, bring him to his family, to his home in peace, and so forth, that the Lord would be his God. He said, "Of all that thou givest unto me, I'll surely give the tenth unto thee." Made a commitment there unto the Lord. And that pillar stood as a covenant of a place that was the door to heaven. And you know something? There is a place you can get to if it's in your home or in your car or out in the field. Wherever you can get close to God in prayer and draw near to Him, His presence will be there and all fear will leave you. How many people come to church but have never hit that point yet? And we're threatened with so many things. You know, there's a nuclear bomb in this country, a suitcase bomb somewhere in New York. Could go off anytime. They know it's there. They've got all these suicide bombings going on in the Israeli state, right? Over there in Megiddo, which is Armageddon, they just had a bombing. Bus was driving along, and a suicide bomber drove alongside the bus, detonated, and blew the whole bus out and killed everybody on it. Do you think that can't happen here? I don't want to see it. I don't want to see anyone hurt or destroyed, but I'll tell you one thing, this nation is asking for trouble because we live in a violent, pornographic, apathetic, ungodly, filthy, rotten nation of ignorant people who have been dumbed down, and they love to have it that way. When are people going to learn to pray and to think for themselves and not accept what they're told by all these different, and talk about conflicting things? No wonder people are confused. No, you're safe. You're perfectly safe because we're watching. Oh, you could get it any minute. Oh, but you're perfectly safe. You know what a terrorist does? These terrorists gather people together. It's happened many times. They'll get a bunch of people together somewhere, hold them at gunpoint, scare them to death to where their adrenaline is just flowing and their heart is pounding, threatening them, and then they'll put the gun away. Oh, have something to eat. You know. Just take it easy here. Relax. We're your friends, you know. And just about the time they're relaxed again, they pull the guns out, put them at their head. I think I'm going to get you first, you know. And back and forth like that. That's what's coming out of Washington right now. It just hasn't crescendoed yet. And people don't know what to think. Because they want to believe in something. They want to trust in something. But they have never learned through their churches to trust in God. They've only learned to come and bring their money and sign up and join up and be a part of this big thing. And all of it is there to keep them from ever finding God, to keep them from ever finding the truth. That's why those churches are there. The churches have been taken over. It started in 1905. Did you ever hear the National Council of Churches? Before that, it was called the Federal Council of Churches. Dr. Harry F. Ward, teaching theology at Union Theological Seminary in New York City, was handpicked by John D. Rockefeller to destroy religion in America, to train ministers in the seminaries to cast doubts on every truth of God's Word. Not direct attack, but cast doubts. Do you really think He rose from the dead? Do you really think a virgin gave birth? Always questioning, 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 like the devil. In the Garden of Eden, yea, hath God said? It all starts with a question, doesn't it? And one question after another. Questions that cast doubts. Questions that generate fear. But there is a place you can ignore all of that, you can break free from all of that, and you can reach out wherever you are, whoever you are, reach out to His throne and cry out to the living God. It's not a matter of joining religion, it's a matter of yielding your heart. That's what it's all about. And what a pavilion He has. When we're in His pavilion, there is no danger. He is there for us. He says, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies, round about me." They're all around. See, who is the true Israel? Israel of God. The Christian people. The true Christian people. That's Israel. It's the only Israel there is. And what happens? Who is the enemy? Everything that's antichrist. Everything that's anti-Christian. Do you realize that in a recent Gallup poll, they determined that 86% of the people in the United States still claim to be Christian? 86%. I don't think it's 0.6. If 86% of this country were Christian, there wouldn't be room for the remaining 14%. You wouldn't have all these gin mills and strip joints and pornography places and all this wild stuff. You wouldn't have any of that. That's not Christian, folks. People don't know the meaning of the word anymore. They think it's an ideology, it's a concept, something you sign up for. It's a condition of the heart. The word means Christ-like. People want to change things, make it easier. You know, they want their lifestyle cramped. The Lord wants our lifestyle changed entirely, 100%. And when you get to that place of safety, and there's one thing that brings great hope to me, and that is when things start to heat up, if a nuclear bomb does go off in a big city and you have 1 million dead, again, I say, I don't want that to happen, but if it did, maybe 2 or 3 people somewhere in this country would wake up and repent. You might say, 2 or 3? They don't come in droves. Here you have those towers come down, come crashing down, this horrifying scene of thousands of people dying, blood and fire and vapors of smoke and all this stuff going on. And people all over New York, oh, they're shocked, yes. And all over the country, but right in New York City, one of the first things they did is Planned Parenthood said, we'll offer free abortions to all those who have lost money in this and can't afford them. We'll kill your baby free. You don't even have to pay for it. Now in New York City, they have many of the restaurants, a lot of them, it is more all the time in certain areas, clothing optional in restaurants. It doesn't look like they caught on, does it? And from coast to coast, how quick people are to forget. But if other incidents start to take place, now they said there's the possibility of the waters being poisoned in Seattle. And in the ocean, the inlet there, the bay. And so water skiers and surfers and all those kind of people that play in the water are supposed to watch out because they have reason to believe that the waters have been poisoned. I just heard that this morning. You know, at the drop of a hat, you could have incidents across this country, a ripple effect. I'm just saying this could happen. They're already telling. I'm not telling you that myself. The president already told you that. Do we know where that pavilion is? Why do we need to know? Because the Bible says, in time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. What am I going to do in response to the terror threats? I'm going to find a place. I'm going to find that tabernacle. That place that only God and I know about. Because between Him and I. Wherever I may be geographically, I'm going to find the place in prayer where I can sing and worship and glorify His name. And He will shield me in His pavilion. He'll put a roof over my head. He will surround me with His power. Then I don't have to worry. Then I don't have to be afraid. Because the Lord, He is God. And it says, He'll hide me in His pavilion. In His pavilion. In that place. I know a pastor that was telling me about a very, very sick man. This man was a very godly man. And every day at 3 o'clock, he prayed. No matter what he was doing, if people were with him, he said, "This is my prayer time. We're going to stop. I've got to go and pray. It's 3 o'clock." And he'd pray for an hour from 3 o'clock until 4 o'clock. Never missed. Every day, every day, every day, 3 to 4, for years he prayed. A little ways down the road in life, as he's getting a little older, he got sick. And he fell delirious. And he couldn't respond to people. The doctors, anybody else that talked to him, he couldn't communicate with them. And he was in a sweat. Very, very sick. And this went on for days. But they said it was very, very odd to watch him because they watched him very closely. They didn't know exactly what was wrong with him. But every day from 3 until 4, his fever broke. And he was talking. They thought he was talking to himself. But he was carrying on a conversation with someone. Between 3 and 4. And after he got well, and he did completely recover, they asked him about it. Some of his friends, and he gave his testimony. He said, "You know," he said, "every day I've prayed between 3 and 4. But I got so sick, I couldn't pray." He said, "But every day at 3 o'clock, he said, the Lord came and sat in this chair next to my bed and talked to me for an hour. Because I couldn't pray, He came and He talked to me." There is a place, folks. There is a God in heaven. There's nothing any man can do about it, any system can do about it, any number of laws could regulate it. It is from heaven to you. There is a pavilion, a sukkah, as it's called in Hebrew, a secret in His tabernacle. Tabernacle means dwelling place of God. And He'll hold you there. He'll hide you there. He'll lift up your head there. Give you victories over your enemy there. I'm going to come back to the psalm just for a moment, but I want to move on to something here before we finish it. You know, if we go over to the book of Joel, chapter 2, it tells us in the 28th verse, and this is a prophecy, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit," God's Spirit, "upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." That's got me wondering. Am I young or old? Last year I saw a vision. We're still waiting on the Lord to see what happens next. But it says, "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids," the common workers, in other words, "in those days will I pour out my Spirit." You don't have to be great to receive the Spirit of God. In fact, very few great people do. And if they are great, they have to become humble to get it.
Let me just illustrate something for you. Do you know why we don't have people like the mayor in here, or the governor, or senators, and people like that? They go to churches where people will say, "Oh, sir, oh, your honor, oh," and pass all this glory over to them. You know what? Anybody who walks through that door is in the same boat. Lost. In need of the blood of Jesus Christ. And they got to be like the camel that goes through the needle's eye and be willing to get rid of all that junk and garbage and affiliation with masonry and everything else. They'd have to come down to a total crash landing before they could find salvation. But people would rather go where, "Oh, sir, oh, your honor, oh, your magnificence, oh, your highness," whatever the case may be. They want to go to a church that'll honor them and honor their affiliation with secret societies. I just thought I'd explain that to you. That's why they're not here. They go where they're pampered and where they can have a place of authority. But you know, every one of us as human beings are lost and on our way to hell, and hell is everywhere beneath us and only a moment away unless the Lord has rescued us. And so the Lord said, "And upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit, and I will show wonders in heaven, in the heavens." Wonders, things to wonder about. Remember right before those towers came down? Some bright object, leaving the colors of the rainbow, flew over the sky, over New York. It was in the papers. They didn't know what it was. At tremendous speed. Not an airplane by any means. We're talking about up in the sky. They said, "Well, maybe it was a meteor." They had different possibilities. This thing was huge. And it left all the colors of the rainbow streaking behind it. After the towers went down, on May 1st, this last May, there was a rainbow that stretched from Liberty Island to the site of the World Trade Center. Are there any signs taking place in the sky that people aren't watching? Now, a major university announced that they have discovered that the planet Jupiter, which at one time was thought to have 18 moons, actually has 39. 3/13. Another coincidence, right? One after another after another. No, all these numbers mean something in the big scheme of things, don't they? "I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." Have we seen blood, fire, and pillars of smoke? We saw it in New York. And it's not over yet. Do you know what you have when an atomic bomb goes off? Blood, fire, and vapors of smoke. I think Chieko could tell you about it. I think she could tell you about Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Those were small bombs compared to what they have. Perilous times, folks. But we're safe in His pavilion if we will go there. "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come." You know, these New Yorkers, as they looked for a long time as the sky was filled with all of that debris floating in the air, all the dust and the smoke as it rose into the air, and they looked up toward the moon through that, it looked blood red because you're seeing it through all that debris. Did we just read anything about that in the Bible? Is there more blood? Is there more darkness? Are there more pillars of smoke to come? More fire? Oh, but you're a gloom and doom preacher. I'm telling you what the Bible says. And yes, doomsday is coming. But God's children are not doomed. They're hidden in His pavilion. They are kept safe. Notice what it says in verse 32. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, what is Mount Zion and what is Jerusalem? It's the church of the living God. Not a city over there. It's the church of the living God. Surrounded by the enemy. Amen. The Jerusalem which is above is free and is the mother of us all. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. The Jerusalem we're talking about is the holy Jerusalem of God that dwells within the hearts of His people. This is metaphor. Some people say, well, you know, that's really something over there, because isn't that Zion? Isn't it? Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He came to His own received Him not. He went there, He was rejected. But His kingdom is established forever right now. It's kind of interesting too, because in a recent census, they took a census for the Israeli state and they found out the number of Jews in, the percentage in the Israeli state, people that are Jewish, as opposed to other nations, other races, and so forth. What do you think the percentage is? Well, I don't want to quiz you today, but I think it's kind of amazing. The percentage is 67%, rounded up from 66.66666666666, ad infinitum. You know what? We need to stop looking at carnal things and realize that people are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Joel said in his prophecy, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the remnant, would be saved. We find the same thing over in Acts chapter 2 if we go down to verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. And they shall prophesy. Things happen when you receive the Spirit of God. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Now, we are reading in the New Testament now, aren't we? So it hasn't happened yet in entirety. I will show wonders in the heaven above and in the signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. That's Old Testament, that's New Testament. Both. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called upon Him? Have you called upon Him with the whole heart? Have you found the secret place in His tabernacle? Has He hidden you in His pavilion? Do you know how to get there quick? Yep, I remember those days. Everybody under the desk. Hands behind your neck, tuck your head down. Air raid. We had a Geiger counter we learned how to use. Had a Geiger Mueller tube in it to measure radiation, gamma rays. Of course, nowadays people are irradiated quite a bit with their computers anyway. They got the beta rays coming out of there. If you get within 18 inches of a computer screen, you're being irradiated. 18 inches, there's that number again. 3/6, isn't it? And then every Friday they'd hand out what they called the goiter pills. Anybody remember goiter pills? Chocolate flavor. They're kind of chalky tasting. Maybe they had other flavors. We always had chocolate. They get that big can out there and pry the lid off and give everybody a goiter pill. We liked them. I would have ate the whole can if I could have. What those were potassium iodide to protect you from radiation. They said it's to make sure you don't get a goiter. But actually, that was potassium iodide. Potassium iodide will protect you from potassium radiation because of the molecular absorption.
That's anti-radiation pills. But they said it was a goiter thing, you know. I never saw anybody with a goiter other than a picture. But oh, I remember those days. But you know what the Bible does say? I want you to, for those that think everything is just going to go on forever and ever in this wicked world, I'll tell you what, the wickedness is already consuming this world. And if you've got 50% of the students that live on a city that borders on the Pacific Ocean that don't know where the Pacific Ocean is, who's going to run this country? Do you realize that all these people walking around, you see these young people, and though there are some intelligent ones, there are some that really apply themselves, but very, very few. And as soon as they advance into a university setting, the Illuminists come in and snap them up. They recruit them. But you have to have a common herd that's really stupid. And you got to make them that way. Do you realize you couldn't get that dumb on your own? You have to go to school to get that dumb. You have to go to college to get that dumb. And to think some of these things they're telling you. You have to work at it. They have to program you, and they have a program. And their textbooks are paid for by the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Endowment Fund. And those are illuministic, and they will have books written that will do the job for them. And it's been going on for years and years, and that's why we have the condition we have right now. People are dumbed down. They can't function anymore. And so they want drugs, and they want sex, and they want pleasure. They want all these things to take care of their flesh, because their brain really is pretty well mush. Again, I don't want to generalize. There are some diligent, intelligent, free thinkers who, if they would dedicate themselves to the Lord, would be just fine. But I'm talking about massive amounts of students that don't know, that graduate and they can't read or write or do math or any of the basic skills. And that's not about right, that is right, and that is a fact. And it's sad. But listen to this. It says in verse 12, excuse me, of Zechariah 14, "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem." Again, shall we identify Jerusalem? Those who are in Jesus Christ. Okay? "Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes," or their sockets. "And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth." You know what that's a description of? That's a nuclear explosion where the flesh melts off the body, the eyes melt away in their sockets, and the tongue melts away in the mouth. And the Bible says that day will come. And when you hear all these threats now and about nuclear power, nuclear explosion, I heard an expert from the Pentagon say that a nuclear explosion in this country is unpreventable and likely. I realized a year ago it wasn't like this. But we've crossed the threshold. And if you feel fear in your heart, there's only one thing you can do, and that's take it to God. Because nobody else is going to help you. And you might not like what I'm saying, but this is it, and this is reality. And I'm giving it to you from conditions I'm just pointing out to you that you know are true, and I'm giving it to you from the Bible, which I hope you know is true. "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord," see, God's sending judgment here, "shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one upon the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor." You're talking about total chaos and anarchy. Let me finish now in Psalm 27. And so it says,
Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Notice what he says here. Even if his own father and mother forsook him because of what he believes, he said, the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Sometimes, you know, there's just absolutely nothing you can do but pray and then wait. But when you pray and when you wait upon the Lord, your answer and your success and your salvation and your help is guaranteed. What good comes of not waiting? What good comes of impatience? I'll tell you a little something you can take with you and think about for a while, maybe all day. You might have something you're praying about now and you need an answer from God and it's just not coming and not coming and not coming. Nobody's ever been there, have they? You know, the Lord, many times, and I'm speaking from experience, I've watched for years and years, many times the Lord will not answer you until the last minute. And I mean the last minute. And I mean when it looks like there is nothing could happen, that your help is gone. He is testing your faith and perfecting it, and he is waiting until the moment when you will glorify him the most for it. You know, like when you're headed for a cliff and you're not watching and you got 1 foot out like that, and there's about a 500-foot drop-off, but you saw it in time. Last minute. But I almost went, but you didn't. You didn't. You didn't go over. He'll wait until the last minute. Sometimes not. Sometimes he'll, before you're through praying, the answer's there. But I can tell you this, that answer will always come to those who will keep waiting. There's just something wonderful about those words. I'm still waiting, Lord. I'm still waiting. It sure sounds better than I quit, I give up, I've had it. It doesn't work, I tried, I can't do it. I'm still waiting, Lord. I'm still waiting. What brings results? Shall we stand together? Perilous times are upon us. But He is the Savior. He has a pavilion that you're invited to. You can hide yourself in that pavilion. And you know what happens? You know what it says when you do that? Will happen? You will begin to inquire of the Lord. Now, some people think to inquire of the Lord means to ask Him a whole bunch of mysteries. But what kind of inquiry was David talking about? Search me, O God. Search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. That inquiry is one of looking in under the light of God through His power to look into your own heart and see what's wrong with you. Because if you can ever get that out of there, and the only place you can is in that secret place in the pavilion, because that's where you make inquiry. That's where everything else is shut out. That secret place in prayer with God, where you can really inquire after your own heart. And once He takes all those things out of your heart, and you go back to square one and start all over again, you can walk in the power of His Spirit. But we've got to find our way and know quickly how to get to that place. It has to be our reference point for our spirit, for our soul, for our entire being. Where do I find the secret place of the Most High? Where do I find God's secret pavilion? And the answer, of course, is wherever you totally yield to Him. Amazing things can happen. You know, the woman who was praying right behind me when God filled me with His Spirit said that she was an amazing woman. She saw visions. The Lord showed her things. But she said she was out picking blackberries one time out in the woods all by herself. It's always a thrill. I ran into a bear one time doing that. At a distance. But I didn't want to get any closer. But she was out picking blackberries and she said she was just praying and thinking about the Lord, wanting to be closer to Him, wanting to be filled with His Spirit. And she said as she was picking the berries, she put her little pail down and she looked up into the sky, nobody around. She just said, Lord, she said, Jesus, I love You. And she heard a voice coming from everywhere that said, I know You do. And at that moment, she saw, as it were, rays of light come right down and touch her eyes. And right there, God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Out in the blackberry patch. Can happen anywhere. There is a secret pavilion of God that you're invited to. Find it for the sake of your soul. Find it. You know where to look. You know where to look. Because God put that in your heart. And if He's calling you, you'll get there. But find it before it's too late. Coming here is not going to save you. Coming here is not good enough. I could put you in the water and you maybe just would get wet. It's got to be faith, folks. And I always watch for that. But from here, it's got to be growth. You have to latch on to this word. I talked to one man one time. He said, I didn't even realize what I wanted when I wanted God to fill me with the Holy Ghost. He said, I would take my Bible and I'd read it and then I would hold it. And I would grip it and my knuckles would turn white. And I didn't know what I wanted. And He gave it to me. He didn't know what to expect. Nobody has to teach you how to receive the Holy Ghost. It comes spontaneously from God as He gives it. Sometimes we don't know what we want. All we're sure of is that we don't have it. God knows. Father in heaven, help us, Lord, to find that secret place in Thy pavilion where we will be safe from all harm and danger, from all injury, from all infirmity, from all things that hurt, offend, destroy. For this wicked world is coming together in the clutches of the Antichrist, and every day there are new terrors, new fightings, new fears within and without. No, Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst give us victory. Help us to find, to reach out, and to locate that secret place of Thy pavilion, where we can inquire after our own heart, where we can yield ourselves to Thee. Protect us from the enemy, O Lord. Give us victory, I pray. Let the power of the blood of Jesus cover us to the glory of Thy name. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Could we sing a chorus here? I think that it seems like an appropriate chorus would be one we sang, I think, last time. I'm standing in the Rock of Ages. Safe from all the storm that rages.
I'm standing on the Rock of Ages. I'm safe from all the storm that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock.
Let's shift into second gear.
I'm standing on the Rock of Ages. I'm safe from all the storm that rages. I'm rich, but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock.
Just once more.
I'm standing on the Rock of Ages. I'm safe From all the storm that rages, I'm rich. But not from Satan's wages, standing on the solid rock.
God bless you as you pray. Amen.